Go. He's fun.
Yo,
Yeah.
hey,
Hold
welcome
on.
to
Come
the
on.
Comedians Wrestling Podcast. Hello, we going?
Yeah, go.
Shebs
In
is
their
here. He's
pussy.
on the phone. Shebs is on the phone. He keeps
Holy
texting us,
shit.
being
Well,
like, "Yo, text me when
what
we're
goes in the
ready to go."
pussy?
He's Swiffering his house wearing the Rock's headphones.
I'm saying it's
With
obstetric just in that
And he keeps texting
it's
us, being like, "Yo, let me
more
know when you guys are
obstetric,
ready to go." We're
not like a
sitting here ready
standard.
to go. We just
Jesus
decided to
Christ.
record. Do you hear him in the background?
Yeah, what is
Right,
he
but you're
doing?
not in the vagina itself.
What is he saying?
Right, well, maybe you could invent like a fucking vagina shop.
I mean, what is
Oh my
this
God.
conversation? Who is he talking to?
Yeah, pudendal nerve. That is that.
What? I mean, he
All right,
literally
Tilo,
said,
I'm gonna
all
mute
right,
him and
good.
we'll start the podcast.
Okay.
But we just this
Right.
needs to be documented because the video, you
I'm
see how
recording. It's going.
he has
It's he
his
can
background. It's like his like the
his work
virtual
background.
background,
Yeah.
but he keeps coming through Swiffering and he's wearing latex gloves while Swiffering his house, talking to someone about vaginas. I don't know what's happening. But anyway, this is the beauty of the Cow Pod. It's not just a wrestling podcast. It's also whatever that is.
Oh my
That's my
God.
best friend Shep, who moved to Hawaii, stayed there, and I don't know what's up with the guy. Is he in the mix? All right, now he's muted.
Yeah.
Ready?
We are just started. Get up, boy.
Yeah. Let's do it again, baby. Hello. Whoa. Whoa. Welcome to the Comedians, a wrestling podcast, a podcast for comedians and whatever Shebs is, dissect wrestling to an unhealthy degree. I am your host.
There's a lot of beef out here.
The host. Ooh, with the most.
Sports aren't exactly my thing, so.
Dan Black, a.k.a. Donsky Blackamora, a.k.a. the modern day goof and spoof, Haraja. Coming at you like Cleopatra, baby, baby, gabba gabba gabba
Gabba
gabba
gabba,
gabba gabba
wee
gabba
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 gay, gabba 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 gabba.
Yeah.
Oh, a little bit of the bubbly.
Ooh, where's AJ?
Injured.
This girl, she's mine. And hop, hop, hum. Wait, where's that? I can't find that sound drop. Hop, hop. Eat my ass, Timberly! Damn, she's fine. Oh my God, these two little drops, bro. What's up? Welcome to the Comedians Wrestling Podcast. Patreon.com/Comedians Wrestling. Support the podcast. We promise you a bonus episode, but we're coming back slowly, baby. We're swiffering our way back in, but we will
We're
get you
almost
one.
there.
We will get you one. But a lot to talk about in the world of pro wrestling. I'm
Nice,
here
nice.
with Tiptoe with Tulo, Nick Tulo in the house. What up, Tulo?
Yo, what up, man? I mean, what a hot way to start the pod. I mean,
Which Jets?
truly, truly, yeah, just really incredible. I mean, what a human being this guy is. I mean, there's nothing really you can look at him. Here he comes. He's wheeling in. Now he's gonna
He
interrupt
does that
and yell at us.
routine that I hate. You know the people who like they're holier than thou. Like, remember
Yeah.
he every time if I'm 2 minutes late to record, he pulls the routine
Yeah.
of like, you're not good with my time, all this, blah, blah, blah. And then he'll be on the phone delaying us, and then it's gotta be like, yo, you guys just tell me when you're ready.
Yeah,
You know what
yeah,
I
yeah,
mean?
yeah.
Like, I don't want to blame this on I don't want to call out my girlfriend, but sometimes she's running a little behind, and then
Yeah.
she likes to sometimes be like, well, you weren't even ready. Like, you weren't ready, or like, is
Yeah.
there something you can be doing while I'm behind? And I'm like, I
Yeah.
could be out the door literally right now. I'm doing something because you're behind. You know
Yeah.
what I'm saying? That routine. Shep's is like that. Shep don't want he don't want to be wrong. So he's gonna mark my words, if you can't hear us, he's gonna pop on here and explain to us why we did this wrong and
Yeah.
why he did it right.
Didn't get
Correct?
any heads up. Yeah, didn't we just, ran with it, and he wasn't ready because he was right in the middle of cleaning and on the phone with whoever he's talking to about vagina injections. I don't know what's going on.
We
But
don't know.
that's why we're here. That's
Oh
why
yeah,
we're here.
this is why we're here. Now, I mean, there's a lot of things I want to talk about, but Shebs is not on the line here. We had a lot of texts this week. We're
Yeah.
here. I mean, let's just say this is one thing I could say overall is that we're very much on the roads
The
to WrestleMania. And where you have full on text chains going on that are like, yo, save for the pod, save for the pod, save for the pod. We've not been in that zone for a while, so that's very exciting. And I think this mania is gearing up to be pretty fucking fun. One thing I just want to say before, if I forget to say it during the pod, while we're waiting for Shebs to stop Swiffering his asshole or whatever he's doing, is I think the writing for WWE, and I said it last week and the week before, the writing for WWE is the best it's been in such a long time.
Totally.
These very small details. Like the last line of the Rhodes promo, which we'll get into, where he was like, yo, you made it personally. You made it personal, and then I'm going to take the title from Roman Reigns personally. I'm noticing a lot of segments ending with, like, slick, well-crafted lines. And I'm like, whoa. You know what I'm saying? Totally. Good. But we'll get into the specifics of all of that. But just from a broad perspective, we're on a nice path to Mania with a lot of build-up to a lot of matches. The most build-up in many years, I think. A lot of these matches. We've been dealing with like 5 or 6 years of most matches being thrown together 2 weeks before Mania, yes?
This is easily the like best elimination chamber. Like this build is easily the best build. Like I don't think there's been a Mania in recent years where I was like going into it and being like, all right, let's go. Like, you know, this is their... They're doing it the right way. And you have this elimination chamber. And I'm even more hyped for that because you truly don't know what's going to happen. You know, like anything. Yeah. And the way they're framing it too, Dan, which is really fucking dope, is like they're like, you can get you there. You could still punch your ticket to Mania by winning at the chamber, you know, like.
And this always begs. So sick. I think Shevs is hopping in. But uh-oh. I think this begs us to.
I'm in. Echo, Bravo, India, Romeo, Oscar, Shapiro.
Bam! I want to add the Swiffer sound effect.
I hacked into the mainframe.
And like when you pull off a latex glove and it snaps, like that.
Yeah. It's me. Dio, Double G, the dog of Hawaii. Look, man, it's a big week here in Hawaii. My folks are coming to visit me
for the first time ever.
So, wow. You know,
there's no such thing as big weeks in Hawaii.
The royal parents are coming to see the prince, the king.
They've been there before, correct?
They were at the Big Island, which is not where I live on. I mean, anywhere I go is big.
Oh, this is their first time visiting you since you've lived in Hawaii.
As a resident. As the adopted son of Hawaii, yeah.
Now, I have a question. Did you get the license yet? Did you get the rainbow license yet?
I'm getting that on the 21st.
36-year-old Hawaiian organ donor?
I'm getting that. And by the way, that's so funny because I'm a 38-year-old Hawaiian.
And now you're older than McLovin. That's hilarious.
Anyway, no, I get that at the end of the month. As you can imagine, the DMV here has like a 3-month wait. Like no one comes into work.
Yo, the DMV has one guy who works at it.
It's got one guy. His name is DMV. His name is Daryl Montavious Vakiki. And he's not in here. The DMV is literally a dude's house.
I was keeping the conversation. We got a little bit of your combo here on the pod. Who were you talking to? You were said something about vaginas.
Yes.
That felt like a relative, no? Or like one of your acquaintances, one of your many acquaintances.
I want
to
say,
so you know what's funny? Is that to you?
Arlen.
That to you?
Definitely Arlen.
Hold on. To you, the conversation I would have with a relative is the same I'd have with a acquaintance. Where are you going with that?
Well,
I'm saying
that Shebs, people don't know this about Shebs. Shebs has the most friends of any person I've ever met. And friends I use very loosely.
Very loosely, but
the most acquaintances in the game. He spread as thin as his hairline.
I'm known across the globe. I've got bros in different area codes.
This guy
I've got bros.
Let me tell you about Chefs. If he gives you the time of day, it means nothing. He will give the time of day to anybody.
First of all, if someone asks me what time it is, I tell them to go fuck themselves. I never give anyone the time of day. Here's what someone said about me.
Fuck yourself.
Here's what someone said about me. It was on Thanksgiving when I was hanging out with I'll list my friend Garrett, Ryan, Lucas, you know, the whole crew. And they said, well, I was talking about a guy who thinks that we're good friends. He's always DMing me stuff. He's always sending me memes. I'm like, I'm not fucking friends with this guy. Why is he sending me all this stuff all the time? Yeah. And they said, well, look, you're one of those people that people just, you make them feel like you're really good friends with them. Like you're one of those people that people just feel close with immediately. And I think that's true. On the pod, I'm known for sort of my dark side because I'm a great heel. But in reality, I mean, Dan, name me a better friend to you. Who's been better to you than me? I'm a great friend.
Yeah, Everyone knows it. I have no complaints about our friendship. I would say that you're just, to me, you're my actual friend. I think it's very heelish that people think that you're their friend, but in actuality, you're not. That's heel behavior. I mean,
I've got literally maybe 1,000 friends. Maybe 2,000.
I'll be like, yo, what's up? He's like, yo, I'm with my boy Terry. You don't know him. But yeah, it's my boy Terry.
Well, the thing is,
I've never heard of Terry. You've never talked to me, Terry. I've known you for 40 years.
I remember you and Arlen one time gave me shit. The thing is, I make friends with people. I'm talkative. I'm I'm funny. I'm a good charismatic leader. All right. So the thing is, you guys made fun of me because I'm like, I'm hanging out with my boy Jay, like Jay Magan. And you're like, who the fuck is that? I'm like, well, he was my physical therapist. I'm done with physical therapy, so we don't want to keep hanging out. They said we're gonna drink at the bar, and you're like, "What the? You're hanging with your fucking like, what do you do?" I'm like, "Wow, we're friends now. I saw the guy once a week for 3 months. Now we're homies. What's the problem?" You and Arlen somehow took issue with that, but that's how people make friends.
With me, they know if they're my physical therapist, we had a great time in physical therapy, and then our time is over once I'm healed.
Well, here's the thing. The thing about me, a couple things you need to know. One, I'm never healed. I've got so much emotional damage.
You go to fucking WrestleMania weekend and soak in a bath for fucking 2 hours a day.
Oh, my God. Right. What the fuck was that last Mania you were in? Green bath.
Last Mania, here's what was going on. First of all.
He looks at me.
Is that what you were running simulations?
I was running simulations. Last year, I was running the simulation.
A marathon, not a sprint, he would say. You got to learn. I've done this so many times, too, though. You got to do these kind of things in order to survive the whole entire weekend.
Shebs, explain what he's talking about.
I shit my pants that weekend.
Right.
And Shebs is like, see?
Wait, you can't even shit your pants at Mania?
Yeah, he was losing it. Tulu couldn't handle the extreme roller coaster ride that is Mania.
We had Taco Bell. And after Taco Bell, I woke up in the morning and I thought I had a fart and I ended up shitting because the Taco Bell destroyed me. And I told Shebs and he said it's because I don't take care of myself like he does.
There's nothing wrong with a shart. Well,
Tulo,
like, Taco Bell shart. And at least I was in my bed.
What you have to understand is when you're going to be doing WrestleMania with the Salami Bros, there's going to be a lot of Taco Bell. You're going to get it every night, no matter what.
Fucking sucked.
Well, it rules, and part of the bro code is you have to have it every night. Those are the rules of Mania. And what I would do, and what I was getting heat for, is every morning I'm drinking a ginger shot, lemon, green juices. I'm soaking in an Epsom salt bath for an hour. I'm doing everything I can to purify myself because I know how grueling. Let me tell you something. WrestleMania is like my 2 out of 3 falls plus Iron Man match. It's a triple Iron Man I'm running. Okay? Three 60-minute matches. Shebs.
So here's the deal.
It's my elimination chamber where Tulo's eliminating last night's Taco Bell.
This is kind of your behavior that I was alluding to earlier when you were off mic, which is that many times you cannot admit any sort of weakness, okay? So
or Shebs fault or
is
wrongdoing.
Like literally sick as hell when we're at Mania.
Well, here's what you have to say. I will rationalize any action I've ever taken.
He's so sick.
He's trying to explain to us why he's not actually sick.
He's coughing. This is early 2022.
These were some of the deepest coughs you've ever heard. And when you're rolling around, luckily Mania was in Texas, where no one believed COVID was real.
But to cough like that in polite society, even now, but certainly last year, you're getting a lot.
Yeah, let's put it in perspective. First Mania we went to was in San Francisco, where it's well documented this podcast. You can't even wear a snake on your shirt.
Too offensive to the sensibilities of San Francisco, as Arlen Marmel pointed out. He did not feel comfortable wearing an RKO shirt with a snake because he thought that would make people feel uncomfortable in San Francisco. The genderqueer paella factory that is San Francisco would not be able to handle the iconography of a viper on a t-shirt. Anyway.
I'm just going to let it slide. But you can go to Texas. It's so funny. Texas is one of the goofiest places on the planet because without fail, I've been there many times. And Tula lives there. But he lives in Austin, so it's like different, but also still weird. Like Austin is also people are like, no, Austin's chill and cool. Austin still has the shit that's annoying. Everybody is such pride in Texas, it's so fucking annoying because they ignore so many facts. Like, Texas is so fucked up. The power doesn't work. It's the least employed state.
We shut down for, like, freezing rain for 3 days.
Like, it can't handle anything, but they're like, this is the best. They've got, like, they've been completely warped by this propaganda that it's the best, you know? And because they don't have an income tax form. And on top of it, there's higher taxes. The rental taxes are higher. The property taxes are way higher. They juke. You're going to get taxes out of you, right? You just don't have to file a tax form. It's one of the greatest PR stunts of all time, you know? And when you get to Texas, without fail, everything, you know, the airport is most of the time way further away from where you need to go, you know, and in my experience. And so without fail, when they pick you up from the airport, Uber drivers in Texas will, like, explain to you why where you're from is shit. And why they moved to Texas and tell you it's the best. Not in Austin?
Nope.
Let me tell you something. I defy a fucking Texas Uber driver to tell me Hawaii sucks.
I've had three times where they're like, they pick me up and then they go like, yo, I'm not even political, but then somehow Pelosi comes up. You know what I mean? Like, I wasn't going to bring up Pelosi. You did. You know what I'm saying? No, anyway, it's just funny. But we were talking about Chefs. He lands in Dayton, Dallas, and he's coughing up a storm. And we're like, bro, we can't walk around with you coughing. This is like during a pandemic. Chefs' response was what?
Chefs. I said this. I said, well, you guys said I'm sick, which was a lie. That was not true. I said, I'm the least sick guy in this fucking house right now. I'm not even close to sick. You think I'm sick. What's actually happening is I'm so healthy. My body is so healthy that it's running simulations. It's running test scenarios to see what would happen if I was sick. It's just running like a stunt, like just a dry run so that in the event I get exposed to any sickness, any COVID, we're already ready to attack it head on because I've already ran the numbers on this. So you guys, it might appear as though I am sick. It's because I'm too healthy.
Interject for 1 second because now you're saying it like it's funny. But you said this dead serious when you said, "Nah, my body's just running a simulation." And then now you've ran with it as a bit, but I had to call out, like, "What did you just say?"
Wait, hold on. You think that I was definitely trying to sell you guys that I was serious about it. Like, here's the thing: I don't want you guys worry about COVID or worry that we're gonna. I needed to convince you, so I said it with all sincerity. But in the back of my head, I knew I was trying to work you guys. I mean, you think I'm actually sitting there?
I think that unchecked over there in Hawaii, you can say that you're running simulations and no one says shit to you.
But that's how it goes everywhere. Is that most places I go, whether it be Hawaii, New York, California, most places I go completely unchecked because I come in with enough bravado and confidence and just a barrage of bullshit.
That's why you're running wild in Hawaii, the land of passive hiders.
I've been here for 2 years. Yep. I'm already fucking running the show out here. I might run for governor.
For the record, my bra, Sal Eliazo, who, you know, began as Cal Listener and then became Chef's roommate in Hawaii.
He became my consigliere and the leader of the Ever Beach Bad Boys. He helped set me up and establish me as Hawaii's true king.
He's moved out of Hawaii. Now, many of your crew have moved have moved back to the mainland. You are holding steady in your own place, signing leases left and right, doubling down.
Yeah.
You landed December 18th, 2020.
That's correct.
And do you have any plans of coming back to the mainland for residency purposes?
Yes. One day. That's the plan.
Now, if you don't get the hero's welcome that you're clearly expecting in your mind, do you head right back?
Let me tell you something. Every Jewish person you know is a direct descendant of a Jew that in the past 100 or 200 years, the only reason we're here is our ancestors were like, the vibe's off in here. I got to go. Right. The part of being a Jew who survived is you fucking took off. You're like, this doesn't feel right.
The vibe's off.
Something's not right here.
I think the vibe's off the modern day version of what you're talking about. Like the pogroms was not like, I think the vibe's off today.
I'm saying, if you wanted to survive the pogroms of Russia, you have to get the fuck out of Russia. None of us, none of our DNA, no genetic material that was passed on. So no living Jew you've ever met is not descended from someone who said, We better get the fuck out. Guys, let's get the fuck out of here. And what I'm saying is, of course, if I come to the mainland, if I sense the vibe is off, If it doesn't feel like it's the right spot for me to be, I turn right back. I go right back to Hawaii.
Well, Sheps, unfortunately, Tulo wants to talk about wrestling.
I don't even want to talk about wrestling. I actually want to talk about how insane it is to be in a house with Shebs, Dan, Arlen, and Christina.
And featuring a couple cameos from the Queen of the Ring. She stopped by for some T-Bell.
But I lived with you guys that whole entire weekend. And it's like Seinfeld, right? It's like an episode. It's like Seinfeld living with these people. And it's literally Jerry, George, Kramer, and Elaine.
You know what it is?
They're doing is yelling at each other the entire time. Okay. They just yell at each other and complain about each other. And it's like, I'm just a fly on the wall. I'm the honorary juice. I'm telling you, I'm the honorary juice. I just go along for the ride, and it's just absolute pure insanity. And honestly, is Arlen coming for
Arlen will be there. Arlen will be there. If he knows what's good for him. Here's what I'm gonna say. You know Captain Crunch? When they made the series called Oops All Berries.
Yeah.
And it was all just no crunch. Just
no crunch. Just crunch berries.
The Crystal Pepsi of.
No. It's just all berries. Oops All Berries is
Oops
what it's
All
called.
Berries, yeah.
What you got when you're hanging out with the bros, the Salami Bros at WrestleMania, it's Oops All Kramers.
Yeah.
Okay? It's four Kramers rolling through that. Everyone's on some wacko bullshit. Everyone is on another fucking level, man.
And Christina that makes it not help.
Christina was absolutely a Kramer.
From my view, it's. Dan is Jerry.
We're all nuts, mania.
Shebs is Kramer. George is Arlen. And Christina is Elaine. I just think it just fucking matches up too good.
I think that we could parlay this into talk about wrestling. What do you think?
Not yet. I'll tell you.
Oh, it's
why.
Not time? What, we're 25 minutes in?
It's not time yet.
It's not time. It's not time.
I'll tell you why. Because this series of 13 Shebrillion tangents was brought to you by the first conversation you wanted to have is who was I talking to?
Presented by Southern New Hampshire University.
So who was I talking to?
I like the Sheamus song in the background of that.
Oh, it's beautiful.
The Sheamus song is so good. You know, Sheamus is one of the great wrestlers of our day. You know
Sheamus,
that? You know
Sheamus,
that?
Sheamus is
he's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
I think he's like Ziggler in that he has been there for so long as such a steadfast and unwavering part of the landscape and such an important part of the E, of the WWE universe, that sometimes we don't think of them as one of the all-time greats, but they kind of are, you know?
He's done it all. He's done it all. Including he's won a Rumble. He's won a Rumble. I believe the only title he hasn't had was the IC title. I think they were saying that.
He could pick that up easy.
I think
he could
pick that up this year. I think that so they might do a Gunther Sheamus Mania match, which can open one of the nights. It'll be
absolutely sick. And wasn't correct me if I'm wrong, but
always rely on Sheamus.
But wasn't he the guy? Wasn't he the guy who took the belt away from Roman in like 13 seconds or whatever?
He had like the 318 t-shirt or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, Sheamus
wasn't
is,
that Aaliyah? Didn't Aaliyah do that to?
Aaliyah did that also.
Well, we love Sheamus. The first time I saw him, I was so confused.
Aaliyah, very cool. I've hung out with Aaliyah. Very nice lady.
Didn't she die? And like,
we got so much to talk about.
Right, who was I talking to?
She tried to die, but first she didn't succeed.
Who was I talking to? The correct answer: I was talking to my brother. It was the first time I spoke to him in over a month. I try to keep it spread out. You know,
the call was a little awkward.
I was trying to just get it in, get it out, get on with my life. He was telling me, as he always does, he was talking to me about some bullshit about anesthesia or something. You know, he likes to throw around medical terms and doctor terms because he's trying to stunt on me. But it's like, think again, motherfucker. I know all those terms. So he was talking about obstetric anesthesia. He was talking about, and I was like, oh, like that's when you Novocaine a pussy? What's up, you know, like when you're numbing out that vag, bro? And then he's like, no, we have to do an epidural for the childbirth. And I'm like, oh, like, okay, great.
Is he having another child?
No, he's an anesthesiologist in South Carolina. He's the Carolina vagina anesthesiologist.
Bro, let me tell you, I would never let anyone put me under in South Carolina.
Absolutely. And one of the last guys I trust to put anyone under is my brother. He will absolutely take a human life at the drop of a hat.
We actually have audio from that OR actually from earlier today. Oh man.
good segue into wrestling.
Okay, so let's talk about
Carmella.
Because I don't want to start a Carmella at all. I'm not sure we're even going to get there. I don't know if we're going to get to Carmella tonight. But Tulo, if you want it, you can have it. Wait, I just clicked on something. Oh, that's the Sting AEW song. I would like to talk about yesterday. I'm watching this Cody Heyman segment. Okay. A fire segment, which we'll get it, we'll break down, you know. And you know, when you're watching, you know, when wrestling's firing on all cylinders, it's very rare, okay? Yeah. Like, right, like, okay, so when you get those like perfect work shoot moments, right, like Cody and Heyman talking about ECW and his and the history and all of that, right? Mm-hmm. Where it's like the magic of wrestling is totally exposed with the fact that like this is a real business, we watch it. Let's just say 50-50. I would say even like, I don't know, we could talk about the breakdown of it. But for the BTS, the behind the scenes, like the meta element of wrestling where it's like these guys are working at this business and it's kind of stupid business, you know, because it's fake fighting, right? You know what I mean? Like it's fake fighting.
But they've devoted their life to this thing that most of the world thinks is ridiculous and for idiots. And they have so much respect for it.
Exactly.
And I can't help but have even more respect for them for having such respect for the business.
Yeah, I mean, it's an industry of dance fighting and but they've actually treated it like they're in the military. And it's one of the greatest parts of wrestling, right?
I would say it's beyond the military. They treat it like they are saving lives. And they're coming up with a cure for polio out there. They're doing truly the most important work this world has ever seen.
Yeah, it's the best, you know. But anyway, there is a real element there because, like, you know, we know the whole Dusty story. You know, he was talking about, oh, when Dusty hit kind of a lull time steady. And then Heyman was there for him and gave him an ECW rub and whatever. All that. That's real. But then it folds perfectly into this storytelling. And when wrestling is great, is the one of the things about wrestling, and I saw something that made me realize it was there's that, like, documentary on YouTube about the Undertaker. You've seen that one? It's like someone made it just about why wrestling's so good, and they use the Undertaker as kind of the reason why. And because you're seeing a guy who's like aging in real time before us, trying to keep, like, how long can he keep up this image of immortality while being very clearly mortal?
Oh, he's clearly, you know, dying.
yes. And like, you're like, that's kind of like why we're watching it for that. It's like, can we at all buy into him with this streak while we see that he can barely get up the stairs, you know?
I mean, it's and the, like, beauty of kayfabe, suspending the disbelief and choosing to live in the kayfabe universe.
So I would say this Heyman Cody promo hit on that for me, where it was like, this is a perfect blend of the fun of the fantasy of pro wrestling mixed with the reality of the business and just the longevity of it and the lineage and the legacy of it, you know? And I'm there watching it, feeling something. And boy, oh boy, Christina walk in the room, you know, and just be like, oh, man, this shit. You know what I mean? Like, that's the thing about wrestling. It's not even a knock on her. It's just like, you can't explain why this segment is important. There really anybody?
Au contraire, my
friend. You can.
Oh, because I was watching with the Natalie and I.
Which one?
which Natalie?
You said you were watching with Natalie. So which Natalie? One? Natalie Imbruglia? Natalie. Yeah.
Yes.
Natalie.
For the record, Kulo's girlfriend, in a way to be higher up on the alphabet than his name. She decided that actually doesn't track because he has an I, but has thrown an A in front of her name, Natalie. For an extra
ultimate
vowel.
Alpha.
She bought an extra vowel, made her higher class. But I would say whatever. You know, when someone walks in, because most of the time when someone walks in, wrestling is bad, you know? And so then you just kind of go like, hey, whatever, this is stupid. This guy, you know, he's Stardust, you know, whatever.
I'm telling you, Dan, I cannot. This is what I have to tell you. I was like,
okay, go.
I paused it because I knew how big the segment was. And she's into it, like. Her favorite right now is Roman Reigns.
You guys are in a honeymoon phase. Where great honeymoon phase. She will tolerate you explaining.
I'm taking advantage of this.
I remember my college girlfriend on my anniversary. It was like Raw 1000 or something. And I was like, look, I know we have dinner. I can't do dinner. I gotta watch Raw. It's the 1,000th episode of Raw. And she was like, all right. And she did it. She was like, sure, let's watch that.
You get honeymoon 1 year, space. Tula. You get 1 year, bro.
You get 1 year of honeymoon. Take it from two guys with shattered relationships.
Because
you
it's get one easy good right year. Now. It's because it, like you said, it's firing all cylinders. So she's watching. She's paying attention. I was like, all right, hold on. Before this segment comes on, she's here right now. All right. Before this segment comes on, fucking, I was like, let me explain to you why this is so important. I literally explain the whole entire lineage of the Rhodes family going into this match and why it's important.
No, I know you did. And let me tell you, the whole town knows you did, okay? Me and Shebs.
We're the whole town.
You don't think me and Shebs have done that? We get into new relationships just to do it.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm about to show this girl the fucking Cena KO NXT title, the US title run.
No, Tula, I'm sorry to give you. Sorry to hit you with the shattered dreams, pun intended, of this. But it is so funny.
Oh, he's fuck, like, dude.
Chef's getting older. This ain't our first rodeo.
I'm the same age as you guys. You fucking idiots.
Yeah, but we just have an older vibe, bro.
Yeah. I know 50. You have to soak in a fucking bathtub every day during WrestleMania weekend.
That's right.
Chef and I are essentially both divorced guys. So
yeah. That adds a couple rings to the old tree stump, you know what I mean?
But I get what you're saying, though. It's very funny. Like, when a person walks in the room, like, oh my god. But like, I was like in tears.
This wrestling podcast is so good. I would listen to this thing. Oh my god.
Oh my god. Let me tell you something. You want to hear the most Shebs thing ever?
Yeah.
I do listen to this thing, but only when I'm on it.
Yeah,
when I'm on it, I gotta listen back. I'm in the gym, I'm like, I'm pumping. I'm like, man, I fuck it. What a fuck. Look at me go. I love it. We'd have a great conversation going, the three of us, and I'll tell you what. When we first picked up the pod again with the three of us a couple of weeks ago, and you said, we're already the best wrestling podcast out there. Already. Within 5 minutes. And you're like, no disrespect to any other wrestling podcast. And I was like, that's what you think. I'm giving full disrespect to every wrestling podcast.
Oh, God,
those shits
so
are
true.
Fucking boring compared to us. We are killing it right now.
Can you imagine listening? Like, I, you know, even though I'm a mark and I've been doing this a while and, you know, whatever. Like, whatever. I could never listen to, like, I don't know what Sean Ross Sapp does. Like, I don't know what he does. Like, can you imagine just being, oh my God, Cody Rhodes just took off his boot.
Well,
like,
they,
whatever the fuck these guys are doing.
They treat it like an actual sport. You know, they're reporting.
Oh, yeah,
the
that's
news.
Probably why I'm not into it.
Yeah.
Well, I gotta tell you something. I would listen to a football podcast if it was the three of us talking about everything around football football.
Yeah, I think we're great. That's true.
I mean, we're having a conversation right
we
now
should
about
do
how,
that.
How you showed your girlfriend wrestling. That almost has nothing to do with wrestling. That's like a tangential podcast that has to do with things that are next to wrestling.
Tulo, I won't spring this on you now, but can we talk to Natalie at some point about. I want to hear how she felt about the Rhodes legacy conversation.
Natalie.
Wait, but which one? Which Natalie?
Oh my God, this is an exclusive here. We're getting this is the world premiere of Natalie here.
Which one?
Hey, welcome.
Hello. Oh my.
Hi. Excellent sweatshirt. Way to rep.
Thank you.
Hey, what's up? Oh my God. Great sweatshirt, Natalie. So wait, you're gonna have to speak into the mic just so you
and know. Also, yeah, first of all, I don't know if you're a big podcaster. You gotta talk into the microphone. And then also just for our listeners, Dan, you wanna play the sound of it? It's Babe Alert.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Do I have that? What's the Babe Alert? Oh my God.
You were playing the fucking Eliminate, like the Rumble.
Oh yeah, yeah. Sorry. Oh yeah. Sorry.
This is a terrible choice, by the way.
This is one of my worst sound effects.
Yeah, anyway, let's move on. Anyway, let's
all right,
hear
clearly
about
we'll just set the stage for this audio podcast, which is that Natalie way out of Tulo's league. And
we love her already. We barely tolerate him. She's amazing. And let me tell you something, Natalie. Because of you and your unorthodox name, in honor of you, I'm now going to be calling Nick Tulo Nick Tulo.
Nicholas Tulo.
A
Nicholas Tulo.
That's
He's
perfect.
Now A Nicholas Tulo. Yeah. Now, okay, so here's let me talk to you for a second. So,
okay.
How much wrestling have you watched in the past?
A little bit here and there.
Okay,
almost none.
Sounds like
name me like a guy that
Booker
you saw.
T, my favorite.
Love it.
I'm a Booker T fan since day one.
Great. Okay, that's
Houston
a very
boy. I'm okay. A Houston girl.
Did you? Oh okay, cool. All right. So Anyway, Tulo was telling A. Nicholas. A. Nicholas was telling us that that he said, like, we were talking about how we describe wrestling to our significant others, okay? And he was telling us how he was describing yesterday the Cody Rhodes legacy storyline, and he was trying to explain. I don't know how to tee this up, Jeff. I don't want to give too much. But I'm saying, did you find that interesting?
I think the question you're asking is,
yeah, Jeff,
as you could see, how important this legacy, this rich history, was to your significant other, A. Nicholas.
Yes.
Were you moved? Did you feel the intensity? Did you feel the weight of this story? Or were you just like, oh, that's cool, okay, I get it now?
No, definitely, because coming into this pretty virgin, I would say, you know, I mean, I know enough pop culture to have a conversation about wrestling, but coming into this being a Roman Reigns fan, I was like all for him, but now it's like, I don't know, there's a lot of writing on this.
Wow, interesting. Yep. So you came in as a Roman Reigns fan. Now, did you see Roman Reigns when he followed Claire Danes?
Did you become a Roman Reigns fan?
How did you learn about
the Tonight Show?
Yeah, no, I became a fan because I looked at his face and his body and game over.
That's the one thing consistent from just people who are the casual fan, many times the ladies out there, my mom included. Roman pops on the screen and it's immediately like, all right,
panties pop off the body.
Yeah.
If they were even on to begin with.
Right. No one's wearing underwear. It's 2023. But here's the thing. Especially not Dan's mother. Here's the thing. Roman Reigns.
My mom's very loose.
She likes to air out. It doesn't matter. It's fine. We all do it. Roman Reigns is obviously gorgeous. But the thing is, me and Dan have forever been showing wrestlers that we think are hot to our girlfriends or wives. Like, how do you think this guy's hot, right? And they're like, no, I don't like that. Like, we show them Drew McIntyre. Like, this is a perfect man. They're like, ugh, absolutely not. Or I show them Randy Orton. And we think, we're convinced these girls are going to be blown away. And they're always like, not for me. But Roman Reigns is, like, the one that no one, like, guys want to fuck him, girls want to fuck him. We all want to fuck this guy.
Wait, Sheps, you said Randy Orton, and then A. Natalie gave out a very audible yuck.
You gave a yuck?
Yeah, really? Oh, so what are your thoughts on the Viper, like, Randy Orton?
Me and Dan cannot believe when we hear this from women.
Yeah, Shebs, wait, let her speak. Hey, Natalie, tell me, what are your thoughts about Mr. Randy Orton?
Just not attracted. Just not attracted.
Is it a face thing? Is it a bod thing? Is it a
vibe? I think that Randy Orton's the most attractive man on the planet.
That ever lived.
Ever.
I would do a Freaky Friday with the Randy Orton.
I would get freaky with Randy Orton on a Friday, Saturday, Sunday, all weekend long. I'm taking a long weekend. Martin Luther King Day. I'll get freaky with him for 4 days straight.
Okay. That wasn't part of this, but thank you. So, and Natalie, I'm saying, so Randy Orton, he doesn't do anything. So, but Roman is the most attractive. What other wrestlers do you find attractive?
I don't know. I'm very.
What about Cody? Are you attractive?
Cody's
to Cody
a great
Rose?
Question. Is Cody cute? I don't know. That's a no. That's
not my
really.
Type. No.
Not your type.
Can I tell you something?
Yeah.
When Roman Reigns first hit the scene, this motherfucker was wearing blue contact lenses, by the way. As if he needed that, right? Go ahead. I want you to take a look at a blue-eyed Roman Reigns, and I want to know what you feel about that.
We just wanted to say, we're officially in a hot guy detour here. Okay, so, but here's
the
thing.
Can I have that as a ringtone?
Yeah, well, you can have that.
All of you listeners at home can, too. For $1.99 at Dan's Patreon, you will get the Hot Guy Detour ringtone. Limited time.
All right, Shebs, this is my question for Natalie. So my thing is this, when Tulo explains to you the importance of Cody, okay, and he's telling you, look, he's a second generation wrestler. He comes from a wrestling family. he was over there in AEW. This is what he told you. He left the company because they were disrespecting him, and they disrespected his father before that. The WWE title has eluded Cody his entire career. He thought he'd win it within 2 years when he was 19 years old. He didn't get it. His biggest fear in life was his father dying before he won the WWE title, and then his father did die before he got it. Then he left WWE, started his own company, AEW, was over there as an executive, and was like, I'm not done in the ring yet. This is ridiculous. So he came back to WWE as the prodigal son. Now, and then is now here to win the title at WrestleMania, which has eluded his whole family. But
do you think that was all planned out?
From the jump? Like
no,
the day
not
one?
From the jump. No, that's the beauty of wrestling. It's okay. More of puzzle piecing a story that comes into place. But what I'm saying to you is, when he tells you that, do you zone out? When he's whispering all that in your ear.
Not at all.
You zone out. You're into it. Wow, that's
I'm
beautiful.
Into it.
All right, well, we're going to check in if you guys are still in 1 year from now.
Right. We'll see how much you like wrestling then.
We're going to check in. We're going to check. The test we're doing right now, and Shreb's works for the lab. He does a lot of testing on this. It's a long story.
I mean, I'll just give you a quick short story version of it is that I have my own laboratory. It's underneath the Amazon jungle. It's called the Jason Jupiter Memorial Institute for the Advancement of Wrestling Science.
It's a memorial institute, but he's still alive. It makes no sense.
It doesn't matter how it happened, but I study things like this. It's important to the listeners. So we're going to want to see in 1 year's time, mm-hmm. Do you give a shit? Are you still ready to enter the Dustyverse? Or are you like, I'm good on the fucking Rhodes family at this point?
Because my girlfriend now, she used to, I think I'd be able to tell her about Cody about a year ago. And now she can walk in the room and wrestling's on. And I think she could vomit if she wanted to. I honestly believe she could.
You said I was able to tell her about Cody a year ago.
That sounded so sad.
Like, you can't even mention Cody Rhodes.
So when Tula was like, oh, I described it all to Natalie, and she really loved it. She was like, this is what he said. He said, I described the full Cody Rhodes legacy to Natalie, and then my response was, we know you did, okay? Because me and Shep, we've been down this road. We want to share
something so important to us with the person that we cherish the most.
I think that's part of the reason I also am into it, because it is such an important part of his life. And that's what you do.
100%.
Or into somebody.
I love that.
Right.
I love
share
that.
Things with them.
And that's what me and Dan are talking
about. How long
about.
It takes Tulo to blow this.
Right. And that's what we're talking about. And then eventually you just stop giving as much of a fuck about the other person. Sometimes it ends in divorce in Dan's case. Sometimes it yes. ends in you pay for a whole wedding and then you don't have it. In my case, there's lots of scenarios that could unfold here.
Yeah, the scenarios are there. Well, in Italy, you're welcome to take Tulo's spot on the pod.
Right,
that's
we don't
fine.
Need him back.
You guys
per
decide,
se.
But Perfect. We got our question answered from you. Yeah. We're going to keep tabs on your tolerance of professional wrestling as we move
of your
on
boyfriend to... and of professional wrestling.
I'll keep you guys updated.
Oh my
right,
god!
Thank you so much, right, and well, great to meet you.
Just yeah, likewise.
Wonderful great having you on the. You. I guess she is the official guest of the podcast, right? If there's a podcast have guests.
Yes, A. Natalie Tulo. We officially give you Tulo's last name for anonymity. Wow. Thanks. Awesome. Thanks for stopping by the pod.
You're very welcome. Thanks for having me.
Mahalo. Yeah,
feel free to pop on and take Tulo's spot any day. That would be very
no problem.
Nice.
No problem.
We'll take it. Just Nicholas Tulo. All right. Thank you for
A.
Natalie.
Nicholas Tulo.
Back in the fold here. So we're good. Let's welcome this Cody segment. Chebs. I mean, the breakdown of this Cody segment, I think that...
What a spin move from a Natalie, by the way. You see that spin move?
We love it, Natalie.
She got in that chair with a
we're
fucking
gonna
chair,
be
whirling
dirge. On Tulo's whole love life here. Now, what I'd say what worked out, part of the text chain, and we'll get into it, I'm sure Shebs has a lot to say and Tulo has a lot to say. Mm-hmm. Well, I think what we all agree about this segment was it was a perfect blend of wrestling and shoot. Whereas, and Heyman, the thing about Heyman is... He is the master. Like, it is a sea of jabronis on this microphone to the point that it is embarrassing to show people sometimes these promos. And then you have a guy like Paul Heyman who is just, like, actual perfection out there. And the way he talked about that and how somehow he kept it fresh, you know, where the thing about him actually giving in to Cody, because he loves to do the thing where he puts over Roman and Brock's opponents. Mm-hmm. And that's what he did here, but he did it in a personal way. They got personal. But then the knife twist at the end of knowing, like, hey, my bread is buttered by the tribal chief, Roman Reigns, you know? And by the way, I was thinking about that kayfabe when I was watching it, where I'm like, is Heyman's, like, salary tied into Reigns being the champ? What is the actual breakdown there of being like that? But anyway, the last line.
What I would think is that as serving as the wise man, he is an advocate for Roman Reigns, and then you have to pay a retainer. Like you have to pay.
Right,
Heyman,
it's a retainer,
to
right?
Keep him like on his staff. Agent. Yeah, he's a free agent, but at the same time, he's so reverent of Roman Reigns because he also knows that this is the best thing going. He needs to really make sure that he stays in his good graces so he keeps that gravy train flowing.
Absolutely. The last line of just saying, your father said to me that Roman Reigns was the son he wish he never had. That's perfect because it brings us back to wrestling, even though it clearly never happened. But I did. It clearly never happened because that would be an insane thing for
any person to say about anyone.
But the promo was so great, and this is the magic of wrestling, that I literally went away being like, is there a chance maybe like he did say
that's
that?
That's what you did? That's where you went?
Chef,
that's crazy. So, first of all, I mean, are we talking about the promo at whole or just this one?
I was talking about the whole segment. Right. I thought the Cody part of it, he clearly was a little sick, you know? I felt like Cody looked a little sick there. His voice was a little fucked up. He loses his voice a little bit too much.
Well, he's always fucking crying, so I mean, it takes a lot out of you. But anyway, so just to talk about the end real quick, look, what we're saying about Heyman, the thing about Heyman is, so wrestling always has these great promos, and when people get shoot and put that shoot element in there, we love that. It's great. Or even when it's not shoot, it's just really great work, like some of the Bray Fiend stuff. Like, it was just so fucking awesome, right? When wrestling's great, but then they have to like shift gears and like talk about a title belt also. And you're like, all right, well, this seems like lower stakes.
The most recent example I remember was CM Punk in AEW when he was cutting that like shoot promo. And then all of a sudden he was like, I'm nuts, man. I'll get nuts. You remember that time that like I poured Paul Bearer's ashes in the ocean or whatever? Do you remember when he did that?
Yeah.
And you're like, all right, bro, now you lost us.
Well, so that's the thing. Wrestling at its best, when it sucks you in and it's so amazing and it's either great shoot work or great promo work. Punk cuts great promos. MJF cuts great promos that have a shoot element. But then you have to pivot back and sell those tickets and make it back about wrestling. And that's when it goes like, all right, man. Then it feels hokey. It feels silly because now it is silly, right? Like, you're not going to talk about a guy killing your wife and throwing her in a fucking wood chipper and then be like, and that's why on Sunday, I'm finally going to take that U.S., the thing you love the most. I love my Jessica more than anything. So I'm going to hit you where it hurts by taking the United States title away from you.
And getting a three count and then walking away.
And that's it. I'll finally fucking lay her to rest. I'll finally get my revenge, right? So wrestling is silly when it has to pivot back from great work to that kayfabe universe, that you know, wrestling storyline universe. And the thing about Paul Heyman is that him, more than anyone else that probably ever lived in the business period, because you want to compare Heyman to Vince, who's the better, you know, showman, who's the better promoter, whatever. Heyman is the A number one best of all time GOAT at bridging that gap and transitioning the shoot or the great work into then making it back about wrestling. If anyone else had that promo with Cody where these two grown men are shoot crying because they respect each other so much.
Mm-hmm.
Those are shoot tears. I'm not going to get into how I know, but at the Institute, we were running the numbers. We actually got samples from each man's tier. I got samples from each tier. And I ran them in the fucking tier analyzer.
How far is the flight from Hawaii to the Amazon?
It is so long. Yeah. It takes me like 20 hours with the stopovers. But sometimes I stay at the lab for a whole week or two. Look, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Those were shoot tiers, and I know it. Okay. To go from shoot tiers to then be like to drop a line that couldn't possibly be real. To be like, oh, and your father told me he doesn't love you as much as this other wrestler that I happen to be
this
the manager
guy he's
of.
Not related to. Right. He trained when he was 70.
Yeah, this guy that he probably hung out with for 4 months and he just taught him how to promo a little bit better, but still not actually good at
but
the time.
Great point that. What was a great point that I never thought of? And that's one thing about wrestling I love up when they dredge up a stat where you're like, oh, Roman's trained by Cody, but by Dusty. Dusty's not trained. But Cody's not trained by Dusty.
So, but
that was
also
my favorite part of the whole thing.
Probably not.
That's what I was going to say.
Fantastic.
And I honestly think they should have just stopped it kind of there. I think there was enough there for Cody to get pissed off.
Like, for sure.
You know, like
I agree, it was a little too far, but it was fun.
The thing is, it's too far.
It's fake. It was too fake.
To be believable. Yeah, but right. Only Paul Heyman. Hey man, nice shot. Paul Heyman is the only guy who could bridge from that shootness to that clear work, clear falsification. And Dan, you're walking away from that being like, well, maybe Dusty did say that. I don't fucking know.
I would go as far as to say is that actually when I was watching it, I actually felt like, you know, like I obviously Dusty.
It's a good point, A. Nicholas.
Thank you, A. Dan. I actually felt like when Heyman said it, he said it as like a diss, you know, like he was saying, like, you're never gonna be Roman Reigns. And if your dad, like your dad would wish he had a kid that was as great as Roman Reigns.
You're saying that even within the context of the promo, he was saying, clearly your dad didn't say this, but I'm just being an asshole.
Exactly. And I think he was being an asshole to make it personal, to be like,
I love that's where you went, and I go. Well, maybe he did say that. Like maybe he was having an off day.
I went strictly to like. That's not true.
No, because you could see the way Heyman delivered it. Like when he said it, he went like, "Ooh, like you know," he gave him the fucking what was that gift that when the guy, I am not a rapper, you know, like fucking they do the thing like. He like said it like it was a diss, but I don't think he expected like Cody to flip, you know, like that was the whole delivery of it. So that's how I got it. But I mean, I thought it was great. It was
a great segment.
It's the perfect. It's we talked about it last week, though. We're like, how is this going to work? Right. And it's perfect. And these segments keep Roman and Cody away from each other right now. Let someone else come. Let Solo come and do Roman's work. There's no need for Roman and Cody to see each other until after Elimination Chamber. And that's writing Sami Zayn off, which I don't necessarily think is something that we should all be doing, you know, because you never fucking know.
Nah, that it could easily turn into a triple threat. I actually think it easily could. If it Sami's easily over could. Enough. But I also think that, this is a separate point. But I was hoping that Cody was going to say he was going to sit ringside at that match, you know, which he still can. But it is really fun that they have this big big Sami Roman match. I wouldn't even have minded if Cody was like, I'm just going to look past that because clearly Sami can't do it. But I applaud him for it and blah, blah, blah. But it's just not babyface to do.
That would have been great if he wanted to get heat with Sami. Right. Because, you know, we all know Sammy's not beating Roman. That's just not.
But I was pointing out that, Shebs, you were off mic at this point. But I was saying how I'm really applauding the slickness of the writing for WWE promos, like more now than ever. And not that they're so amazing or anything, but just small things where you're like, when I was saying this, where Cody said, you're the one who made this personal, and then at WrestleMania, I'm going to take that title off of Roman personally, you know? Mm. There's more of this going on. Like, Rhea had a nice wrap-up to her promo.
Becky's promo this week was sick. Like,
they clearly now have some people writing actual lines back there, you know, for these wrestlers.
I have a question. All right, I have a question.
Here comes Chev's poo-pooing on everything.
No, I'm not poo-pooing nothing, except for the poo-poo platter, which I'll be eating later today. The question I was asking, all right, was how much of that because again, I saw this promo, I got chills. Cody probably gives me the most chills per promo out of any rest. His hit rate on chills for me is maybe the all-time greatest, right?
Would you say they're multiplying?
I've got chills, they are multiplying.
You have adrenaline. Would you say you have adrenaline in your soul?
Yeah.
I don't know if I go that far, but
say something Cody Rhodes though?
Did you notice the pyro on Whoa? Did you see how he's got Whoa?
Man, if you only just noticed the Whoa pyro,
I just noticed now. Did I just notice it?
Yeah. And I can't tell you how many times I probably said the Whoa pyro to you is the sickest thing.
That's like, hilarious. I didn't notice till today.
It might have changed the delivery of it, but he's been getting into place and saying the Whoa, and pyro has been going off. But this,
I love it.
I think this is a new one where it's like. across.
And I think it's a little new because I would have, but he's been gone for a while, so whatever.
They definitely honed in on it and the delivery. Okay, go ahead.
I love the, but I love, I'm still marking out for the, however they do the explosion and then he appears. That looks so fucking good on camera. It's so much better than the rising from the floor. Yeah.
Cody might have the best entrance right now in wrestling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He very well could.
And that's what I'm saying is I'm so happy that Cody Rhodes is WWE. Like, I'm just so happy. Like, he deserves this. He built this character. He's here. He gets the fucking
Seth Rollins completely handed him this role in WWE. He decided to be a complete clown.
Johnny Depp?
I mean, it's so true. It's like Seth Rollins gave away his legacy. He let Cody swoop in and do exactly what he should be doing in WWE, which is, you know what I mean? Like being the coolest guy. And instead, he's he's like fucking Johnny Depp. He's like in
Seth Rollins is the Johnny Depp zone. Seth Rollins is the Johnny Depp of WWE. He's got his Academy Award nominations. He's got his major franchise. He did everything he needed to do. And now he's like, all right, now I'm just going to fucking squiggle around like I'm on opium for a couple of years.
I said Seth Rollins is in his fake Nick Tulo era. Like, this is, he's not even fucking, he's not even trying to be Seth Rollins anymore. He's trying to be me.
It's such an odd choice.
He's doing a great job.
He's doing a great job. He's doing me better than I did him, that's for sure.
He's essentially the number three guy in the whole company, but he's choosing to be number 10. Like,
No. I don't even think he's 10.
That's more. That's
you
more
think he's
like
lower. You think he's absolutely. I think, you know, he's eating L's. He's
Who's doing it worse, Seth or Kenny? Like, who's taking the backseat worse?
Kenny did a whole year and a half of backseat. They both make equal
but different mistakes.
I'm loving what Seth is doing. So you can't,
remember when they had DC versus Marvel comic book crossovers and they had different guys fight different guys, and you'd think it would be like, you know, Superman versus Spider-Man or something. The two franchise guys. But instead, they did stuff that made more sense. Like, it was Superman versus the Hulk or something like that. Right. And I believe it was Wolverine versus Batman.
Wolverine versus Lobo, no? Because they both heal?
Maybe. So who was it, Spider-Man? Look, the point is they matched the rivalries up, not necessarily by their status in the company, but by who made the most sense. And I think Rollins Omega is the match.
Right.
Those are the guys that need to fight if they do the DC Marvel crossover.
Yeah,
that's the, once we enter the Dustyverse, which is now just what I'm calling
and to
all
me
of
it's,
wrestling.
And to me, it's Mox versus Roman instead.
That's insane.
That's the most insane
thing I've ever heard.
Why is that
Mox Roman?
Because Roman Reigns is the greatest wrestler possibly ever right now.
I get it, but who else is Roman Reigns supposed to
Mox
fight?
Mox is shit on the shoe of Roman Reigns.
No, but Mox Roman is the matchup. Roman is the matchup, but I'll say because of the Shield and stuff like that. But I was thinking about this because I was looking at Roman and then I was watching that MJF promo that I sent you guys, which we should talk about. I was like, boy, it is for like a Jewish kid. We're talking about like representation or whatever.
Oh my God.
It is so satisfying to see that like the equivalent of Roman over at AEW is like this Jewish kid from Blame. You're just yelling. You know what I mean?
Dude, but let me tell you something.
Talking about getting blowjobs while you're in his car and crashing it.
Doing the Lucille Bluth where you get into an accident and then switch seats with the driver.
Yeah.
Look, MJF, I'm not going to get into a tangent on MJF right now, but I am going to say that guy, you know, a year ago, a year and a half ago, we're saying, wow, this guy's great on the mic, but there's something a little bit, he's not there. You know, there's something, he's yelling too much. He is there. Now he's even fucking better.
Because we just knew
he needed a little bit more time. He's a little green.
He just needed to be champ, honestly.
This guy is the best stick man in the business right now. And I cannot wait for the day to see him and Heyman in a ring talking together. Oh. Two Jews.
I mean,
two of the
Heyman
best ever
and MJF should be together.
That's what I'm saying. Together, opposite, whatever. Those two guys, two of the greatest talkers in the history of the business. And it is a crime that we don't get to see them doing something together. And they will. They 100% will.
So where do we want to take this convo right now?
I need
to
go back
to the DC Marvel.
We're rewinding.
Do
we
want to take a Batman detour?
We're rewinding. Batman detour. No, we were talking about the Cody promo.
No, there's the Batman's in the way.
I have my question.
Oh, yeah.
I don't even think Shebs knows about the Batman's in the way sound drop.
I know about the movie. I've seen the movie.
Keep going.
So I was saying Cody gives me the most goosebumps per capita out of any wrestler probably ever, for better or for worse.
Chefs, you know that is Zach Zacharias.
I know. I know he makes all the music for the podcast. That's a great. That's
yeah,
great.
We had like 2 months where I just only was talking about Batman.
Yeah.
Like Batman's in the way of the podcast.
That's incredible. That's wonderful. I love it. I really only listen to this podcast when I'm on it, but that sounds really funny.
Well,
you're
busy at the Memorial Institute.
Well, I'm basically working 3 jobs. I mean, working my SiriusXM hosting job, my regular job. I work for I'm the founder of the Memorial Institute, and then I'm also a full-time puss hound, baby, so I'm on those streets.
Yeah, I know, absolutely.
That's 3 jobs, baby. Yeah.
Did you see that Edge clip I sent you, by the way?
Nah, I didn't watch it.
Was it just a sex show? Edge. No, this is rated R Edge. And by the way, because Tulo was talking a lot of shit about Edge, this was Edge. It was MLK Day Raw.
Oh God!
Okay,
I already don't like where this is going.
And they're in Arizona.
Yeah.
And then he was like, "I want to wrestle." Cena's in the ring. He's like, "I want to wrestle, you." But Arizona is one of the last states to recognize Martin Luther King Day as a holiday, so I would never wrestle in front of these bigots.
Wow,
that was
incredible.
That was a way to dodge. Just like the heel, the level of this Edge heel, though,
he's the best.
He went deeper than anybody at a time.
Edge is one of the best heels ever. Yeah, ever. Yeah, yeah, ever. Ever, ever, ever.
But that's why this version of Edge is so lame. It's not what you want.
No, but this is like a lot of guys come back in their Hall of Fame tour.
Right.
Now he's Hall of Fame Edge.
He's doing the tour.
Like when The Rock would come back.
I'm hearing this is it for him.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, when he would come back and play the guitar, you're like, all right, that's not The Rock. He's doing his Hall of Fame tour. And God bless him for having a couple of those great moments. We're like, hey, left. We're like, wow, we thought maybe he could win the title again, but it's done. He's done. He's in the Hall of Fame tour. The thing that people who didn't watch Edge at the time, if you're going back and watching Edge now, it doesn't hit as hard. Like Arlen doesn't get Edge. Tool doesn't get Edge. Edge was amazing. He was one of the best heels ever. He, first of all, basically single-handedly invented running away with the title, the Money in the Bank briefcase, like cashing it in when the guy's already dead. Edge invented it. He invented that, which was incredible.
Well, it's also nice because at the time he was considered so small to be champion.
Right, right.
That he had to run with this opportunity. Like, now he's probably one of the biggest guys on the roster.
Right, well, now. And then Edge also, like, because at the time you'd have the Money in the Bank briefcase and you'd be like, I'm cashing it in for Extreme Rules. You know, you'd like announce your Edge was the first guy to come in and just fucking bang someone over the head with it after they just got a power bomb. And he's like, well, now I'm champion. I mean, it was incredible. And
then have a sex party.
And first we had a live sex show where he also did the thing that turned me is he pinned someone 1, 2, 3 by humping them on the count. Like 1 and he humped, 2 and he humped. Like he was pumping to the ref's count for a dry hump 1, 2, 3. Amazing. And La Familia is one of the fucking funniest, best heel stables ever. I'm not sure you know La Familia. It was Vicky Guerrero had power. She was the GM. So Edge fucked her. Edge was just in a relationship with Vicky Guerrero, who's gross and like 20 years older than him. And he was like, you knew he was pretending, but he'd be like, I love you, bitch. He'd like make out with Vicky Guerrero. He'd be fucking her, off camera. And then he had a whole La Familia was Edge, Vicky Guerrero, Chavo, like any Guerrero, and then also the Edge, which is Zack Ryder and Brian Myers, whatever is it, Kurt Hawkins. It was an amazing heel. Well, it's Edge, two guys who look exactly like Edge with beanies on, and then a bunch of Mexican legends. Well, he's
on this day.
Get this the fuck out of my face. Anyway, Edge is
everything.
Turn it off.
You think you know me?
By the way, in my gym, sometimes they play the Edge song. It's like part of the playlist because one of the wrestlers is a Mark. But he plays the version that doesn't start with the drum. I have no use for this version.
Well, he plays album cut. He plays the album version of Metalingus.
It takes
a
while to get to On This Day. It's so bad. It's so.
He plays the album. He bought the Metalingus album. All right.
I gotta find it. Yeah, go.
Please don't. All right.
I think the song's called Metalingus. That's another funny thing that we always remember. It's Alter Bridge and the song's called Metalingus.
Oh, whatever. Who gives a shit? All right, look. Here. The point is, Edge is amazing.
Here it is. Okay, no one likes this version.
What are we doing here?
Terrible. See, I'm
out of my ears. I'm sick of listening to Edge stuff right now. Alter Bridge, why are we talking about Edge?
Is Alter Bridge Creed without...
On this day, it's not even the beginning of the real song. Did you know that? That's cutting right to the core. They brought in the drum guy. They brought in Travis Barker. And, yeah. Anyway, go.
They're like, instead of a verse, just put, all right, look, the point is...
I haven't seen a good meme of Edge with a explosion and then Edge coming out of it. I haven't seen one of those in a while.
Love it. Edge is incredible. I'm not going to tolerate anything less than talking about him as a fucking living legend. He's absolutely incredible. And Dan was saying the heel work he was doing on another level of going to Arizona, refusing to wrestle Cena because they were late adopters of Martin Luther King Day as a holiday is amazing because it's heel. He's chicken shit dodging Cena. But yes, it's also like a great point where it's like, yeah, fuck you guys. And he's shitting on the crowd, so giving them... He's getting heat from them, but he's actually making a good point. Like, no one was on this guy's level. He was
no, that's so that's because it's like it's playing like liberal, but you know he's disingenuous. It's the worst thing you could do. He's like, it's like virtue signaling.
It's like being in an interracial relationship with Vicky Guerrero, but clearly you brush your teeth as soon as you leave her house because you hate kissing her. All right, look, Edge rules.
All right, a little far.
Cody Rhodes goosebumps. I haven't gotten to my question. My question is that promo. That was a lot of real shit in that promo between Cody and Heyman. And I think, and I know those are shoot tiers because I literally analyze the actual tiers in my machine that I built single-handedly. I have the patents, 41 patents for this machine.
Yeah.
How much of that do you think was pre-known, scripted out, and how much of that stuff was Cody going off the cuff and Heyman reacting to it in real time as real, like he didn't know he was going to say that when Holman said, oof, you got me a little bit.
Holman? Fully, Heyman. Fully scripted.
You think full script and full Heyman
scripted,
knew?
Full scripted, full script, they knew how to play it. They knew how to play it full scripted.
Yeah. I don't think full scripted. Tula, what do you think?
Full. I was gonna say it felt half and half. Like the opening part of it kind of felt, I would almost say like they had like I fucking don't know.
Here's what I think. Because those were shoot tiers. I don't know if they were able to work shoot
Cody's
tiers.
Cody's were real. I thought Heyman's were worked.
Here's what I'm saying. Here's what I think.
I mean, you have the machines.
No, well, I guess all I know is the tiers were shoot.
I think the machine's just a COVID test that you've been using, but it's fine.
Absolutely not. You don't disrespect the institute like that or I will have sue you for slander. But the tiers are shoot. The question is, were they just feeling emotional even though they already knew about it? Because the emotions could be real even if they knew what they were going to say. The emotions are real. I'm saying totally. I'm saying they weren't faking emotions.
Heyman was emotional from the second he stepped into the ring.
Right. I'm saying there's no way they were faking the emotion where they didn't feel it. And just the question is, did they know what was going to be said? And what I think it was a Curb Your Enthusiasm model. I think the skeleton was there. Cody was like, look, and I'm going to say some stuff about, you know, thanking you for the stuff you did for my dad over the years and bring up a couple memories. I might talk about these. You know, I think he knew genuinely what was going to be said.
Shebs?
Yeah.
I'm going to go try to find out. How about that?
All right. Who are you going to ask?
I can't say that. But I'm going to find out. Because what I'm curious, I was talking about this last week, is I'm curious if they're getting bullet points now because everyone's promoing way better. And it makes me think they're just went back to bullet points.
Of course. But the thing is, just because other people got bullet points doesn't mean Cody and Heyman got the same treatment. Cody and Heyman are two guys that I think have carte blanche free reign to whatever the fuck they want.
I think that is true. But I think the whole thing was scripted.
Full script.
Cody knows this is his moment. I think he's going full overthink and blah blah blah. And actually, that's gonna fuck him over a little bit too.
Well, I think there was definitely like that ending was obviously a scripted piece of business there. Yeah. But I think that in that middle and that sweet spot. And by the way, I told Arlen, who definitely isn't watching wrestling full time right now. He's not on the road yet.
He used to watch as his full time job.
Well, Arlen used to be very lonely and had no friends or life when he was in California. And so all he had was wrestling. He actually got us like back watching it as much as we are because he was the only one doing it for a little bit. But Arlen, like me, is a junkie for respect. The thing I love the most about wrestling is respect. And I told Arlen, I'm like, yo, man, if you're looking for a quick hit of respect, pop on the Heyman Cody promo from Raw. They dropped a respect nuke on everybody. That was the most respectful, double respect, flying around, tears.
A respect,
I loved it.
Nuke.
It was a nuke of respect. You talking about a pipe bomb?
Tulo,
this is a fucking respect nuke.
Four time. Tulo, what do you, mm-hmm. I want you to bring up our next topic. What are you feeling? What do you want to talk about?
I'm just really excited that the Gun Club beat
Scissor Me Daddy.
No, that's not what I want to talk about. I don't care about that.
I care about that.
You know, honestly, I got super into I really like the way they did that match with Asuka and first of all Chelsea Green. I think it's really funny, and I'm really hoping that Cardona returns at WrestleMania. I think that would be insane.
I think he's gonna, and I'm excited for Cardona.
It's like a mystery guest in the IC title match.
Great, he's great at this.
Imagine him back at Mania. The crowd would go fucking nuts for him.
Crowd would go nuts, but it's an LA crowd. It's a smart crowd.
Do you think they'll go nuts for him? I think they won't go nuts for him.
Probably. I think New York.
No, they would go nuts for him because everybody's in town and everybody's at Mania. Everybody, like, that's it. People who watch wrestling know who fucking Cardona is. That's not just a WWE crowd there. They'd go nuts.
But Mania is notoriously a
in the right spot. I'm saying IC title, like ladder match, mystery fucking guy.
Sure. Is there a spot for a mystery? Well, we don't know what the booking yet, but I think Cardona, WrestleMania maybe is a little bit too big for him to come back for. He would have been a great surprise Rumble entrance.
I think him coming back at Mania is actually not good for him. I think he'd be too big to come back on the Raw after Mania. I think anyway, cool.
Yes. Because that's a good time. I like that. All right, Dan.
Okay. One more thing. And then I, speaking on that point, I really liked how they had the women that are going to be in the elimination chamber match out. And then Bianca came out, and you look at Bianca Belair, and she's just, talk about a superstar and a talent. I mean, they have a gigantic megastar in Bianca Belair. I think it's just undeniable. 100%.
And she beats Asuka at Mania. And then you have
I think that set up that elimination
for Bianca, I think it'd be great.
That elimination chamber super women's match athlete is going to be really sick. They're really building up the women's division nicely. And I also, the other thing real quick, I watched NXT Vengeance Day. It was awesome. It was live in Charlotte. It wasn't in, and it was an really, really good pay-per-view. So it's really dope to also see that NXT is back and it's touring. They're going to have Stand and Deliver WrestleMania weekend. Yeah. And the talent down there is going to be awesome. So it's exciting to see what's going to happen now with this new era, with all this stuff happening, because there's some really talented fucking wrestlers in NXT again, for sure.
Who's the guy who I watched this clip where he runs down the aisle, like down the ramp, and he can jump right into the ring, and like, you saw,
Ultimate Warrior.
I sent you the clip. Is this guy in NXT? I don't know his name.
That's what's his name?
Oh,
that's
Leaping Lanny Poffo. R.I.P.
That's the guy that used to be with Carmella.
No, not the Sommelier.
The Sommelier.
Yeah, he's now in NXT.
I'm talking about a white guy, not him. He's a white guy.
Axiom?
I don't know. Axiom. Yeah, he has done nothing to get my attention except for this one clip. I was like, that's pretty cool.
He jumps right in. I want to talk about one quick thing.
So Brock Shebs, we got to talk about this Brock thing for a second.
Absolutely.
So Brock gets, they're setting up this Brock Lashley match. I'm hoping this match has a stipulation or something, you know?
The stipulation is loser has to wear a gimp mask for the rest of their career.
Lashley. So awesome. Look, this segment wasn't like particularly awesome. It felt like the old WWE sloppy. It felt like kind of like we were like,
that's fine.
You know, none of these guys can talk. That's who cares? Why.
Yeah.
Well, I'm saying that's why the segment wasn't
that good. They're making a spectacle out of it, though.
Tulo. He's saying the segment wasn't great, and I'm explaining why. Because these motherfuckers have mush mouth. They're fucking not.
Yeah, but I think he's expecting something special to happen there. There's nothing special that's going to happen mic-wise there. There's no, like, this is about.
Well, I thought Brock had like a nice attempt at a thing, and he had that.
Lashley's come a long way, man.
I thought that joke was pretty funny about like 4 or 5 hours later. Nothing was believable about him being like, all I can think about is Bobby Lashley. He's like, no one believes him.
No, he doesn't. It's one of the least believable things.
Like, if you want to compare that to the Cody segment, just like, here's something that's completely not working, right? But the feud.
I'm laying in bed with my wife, and all I can think about.
No, then I get into bed with my wife, and I'm all like, 4 or 5 hours later, all I can think about, I was like, all right, Brock bangs.
Dude, it's a classic big campus college guy. Like, yeah, I fuck hoes. I fuck girls all goddamn day. You know, but then my brain goes to, imagine getting fucking railed by Brock Lesnar or 5 hours. You're mincemeat, you're hamburger, you're ground beef. And I'm like, Sable must have a fucking iron vagina to withstand 5 hours of Lesnar.
Well, why don't you ask your brother?
I should.
Is your brother Mark Marrow? Why'd you buy? What does your brother?
No,
have to
he's
do
she's
that?
In, he's injecting vaginas with.
I had no idea why he said that.
He's doing
a callback to the start of the show, man. I mean, is that like a classic improv thing? I've been watching last improv show. Is that what you're supposed to do?
Yo, but
that's our show,
Lashley, like.
And after that, I'm going straight to hell. Enjoy the show.
Lashley, what the hell happened there? Like, he's going to the promo, what? And he's like, yo, I'm going to check in with my lawyer. And then all of a sudden, he just, like, pretends to leave the ring and then turns around and gets in Lashley's face. And he's like, and Brock's face. And he's like, yo, you thought that you're tripped up? And I was like, what are you talking about? Did you see what you know what I'm talking about?
I can't even. I tune him out immediately.
Yo, Lashley is so awful.
He's an
when they have to
dork.
Give him a promo, he cannot do it.
He's like, going. He's going back to her business. He's going back to her business.
Awkward dork. Awkward dork. And I truly, you know, sometimes wrestling insults your intelligence. Yeah. It's truly insulting to my intelligence when they say he's, you know, Brock Lesnar, one of the most decorated combat sports athletes of all time, and Bobby Lashley, one of the most decorated combat sports. I'm like, Brock Lesnar was the UFC heavyweight champion.
Yeah.
Defended his title almost as much as any other champion ever. And Bobby Lashley was in the B leagues where he barely beat up fucking tin can morons. Yeah. He looked like shit doing it. Lashley is not a fighter. Lesnar.
Brock's run was ridiculous also. Brock beat up Randy Couture at 50, and he's 50, like he's 80 pounds heavier.
He won on Couture, you know? But then he beat Frank Mir. He defended against Shane Carwin.
No, he lost against Frank Mir. Then he won the rematch.
Well, but because
Mir.
He's, but that wasn't the title. He was learning MMA on the job. He was learning it in the fucking octagon.
No one
else would survive. CM Punk tried to fucking survive that. He got beat up by No Name.
No, it's amazing.
The point is, who
did Brock beat though? Shane,
he beat Couture for the title.
Did he beat Shane Carwin? He kind of like got lucky.
They could have. I think that there's a case to say they could have stopped that fight because he was getting beat up by Shane Carwin. He's a little bit rocky, but they didn't stop it.
Right.
And then the second round, he wound up beating Shane Carwin.
Shane Carwin kind of gassed out looking for them to stop the match, and then
Shane Carwin was also huge. Shane Carwin is an enormous
Shane Carwin worked at like the water. He was like worked at the water utility factory.
Shane Carwin was actually an engineer, but he was a smart guy. But Shane Carwin was literally he would touch guys and they would go lights out, good night. Right. Like he was a fucking knockout. He was a powerhouse.
But who else did Brock beat? I'm just trying to remember.
In his life? After beat Shane Carwin, he never won again in the UFC.
So he only beat Randy Couture?
He beat
Frank Mir rematch.
His first UFC fight, he lost to Mir.
Right.
But that was like, he kicked the shit out of Frank Mir, and the referee stopped letting him hit Mir because he said he hit him in the back of the head, which no one ever stops a fight like that just never happens, but the refs broke it up.
It was a good match for.
Then Frank Mir caught him in a fucking heel hook or knee bar or something because Lesnar literally has no idea how to do MMA.
Yeah.
So he lost to Mir. Then he fought this guy Heath Herring who used to be a badass. He beat the shit out of him.
Yeah.
Then he got a title shot at me. Then he was given a title shot because Randy Couture just came back and beat I don't know Tim Sylvia. He beat someone who was whatever.
Right.
I don't know who he beat. But then Mir got a shot against. Couture beat Couture, so he legitimately won the title from Legend. Then he fought Mir again, the guy who beat him, kicked the shit out of Frank Mir, destroyed him. And then he fought Shane Carwin, who was a beast and just ran through the division, beat him too. And then he lost the title to Cain Velasquez after that, I believe.
He lost to Cain, and then he lost every match after that, right?
The point is, though, he had two title defenses, a heavyweight. That was that tied for the most ever in that division. Look, Lesnar's good.
Best wrestling run after that.
Yeah. Lesnar's amazing. Lashley is kind of garbage. The only reason people are like, we want to see this match is because they're both really big.
Jacked. I pop for Lashley's like flip spear thing. No, I always like
Lashley
it.
Has some in-ring.
Lashley, they've done amazing work with Lashley over the past 5 years, considering.
I'm just saying, if that guy was worth half his weight in dog shit, he'd be one of the greatest wrestlers of all time. Think about the stuff. Imagine looking like that guy, having those physical gifts. How bad do you have to be at the rest of the business to not be a legend right now? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
he got to shave Vince McMahon's head by being Donald Trump's, by being the former president's designated guy. He's a Donald Trump guy.
If you said to Donald Trump, if you said to him, hey, who was the wrestler who you, do you think he would know?
He would say, JFK Jr. is going to be my VP. Just you wait and see. He would not have no idea who Bobby Lashley is.
All right. Anyway. All right. Well, let's get out of here. I mean.
Wait. We didn't even talk about the thing that you wanted to talk about, Lesnar.
Oh, yeah. What was it?
Yankee Doodle went to town riding on a pony, stick a feather in his hat, call it macaroni. The thing about Lesnar is he is not from Texas. He is not from the South.
It's so goofy.
He is from South Dakota with roots in Minnesota. He is like a North Midwest guy. He sounds like a North Midwest guy. He sounds like Bobby's mom from Bobby's World. Don't you know, Bobby? That's what he sounds like. He's that. But yeah, he's country Brock now, which we love.
He's watching Yellowstone, and he's just like doing the country strong.
And he's not good enough to do.
Mickey James from the country too, or she also just pretends to be country.
She became a country singer.
Yeah.
Anyway, but Brock Lesnar slips into this like good old boy, like Dukes of Hazzard accent, but he can't do it, so he does it for like 15% of the words, and then for another 10% he fucking up trying, and then he just stops trying and just talks like himself, and then he slips back in. Like, it seems like he's for his first time in his life trying to do a gimmick character. Like, he's trying to do Kofi being Jamaican. Like, he's like, I'm a gimmick now, I'm from Texas, everybody. But like, no, you're not. And then Tulo, you were like, well, he's like a hick, like he's a hunter now. I'm like, yeah, in Canada. No one talks like that in fucking Canada.
Yeah, he lives in Saskatchewan.
There's nobody in Saskatchewan be like, come here, boy, let me tell you something. Like, that's not an accent you'll find in Saskatchewan.
Hello, ladies. Do you want to come to Saskatchewan?
Is that Jamaican?
No, it's from Grown Ups.
No, but
only Grown Ups too.
Anyway, the point is, I don't know why Lesnar is doing a 25% Southern character and wearing a feather in his hat.
He's a cowboy.
Yes. But why is he changing his accent unsuccessfully?
I don't mind it. I just didn't even know what that segment was so bad. Like, he kept going like the Bobby Who thing, and that didn't work at all.
I liked that.
I see why on paper that was a good idea, but he wasn't really selling it enough. Like, it wasn't really working. Right. By the way, sidebar. Some clips of Kurt Angle. Boy, oh boy.
Oh, my God.
Fucking great.
We were flashing around a TNA.
The moonsault.
Yeah, TNA Kurt Angle was different, and it was like they called him Perk Angle because he was just doing fucking full flips off like the fucking the stage, blasting right into the abyss. There was a clip where he literally flies like 20 feet in the air, does a somersault, and like smacks Abyss in the head like with his ass on the way down. Wow, he was just out of control, and he was like 50 at the time. By the way, where the fuck is Abyss? I'd love to see Abyss.
He works at NXT, right? I'm serious, and he's a behind-the-scenes guy at WWE.
Let's put him in front of the scenes. Put him in Bray's stable.
Abyss was hired by NXT to work at the PC.
That's great, but I feel like imagine Abyss doing like a Legends tour in fucking AEW or popping on screen with Bray. Like, let's get Abyss is a guy. People talk about your Samoa Joes. You talk about your AJ Styles. You talk about guys who never got the shine they deserved because they came up in TNA or they didn't really have a WWE run. You know, obviously those other two guys did at some point. Abyss is the guy. He's right in that conversation. Abyss was a big deal. And he just never had a WWE run. So no one really talks about him.
No, he works at WWE though. I mean, he did I don't know if he's still there, but they hired him to be one of the trainers.
You know what abyssal is? Abyssal of chicken liver?
A bushel abyssal. And a peck?
Abyssal is like a little tiny unit in Yiddish. Oh, give me abyssal of whitefish salad, please.
Like
A-B-Y-S-S-A-L. No, it's A, like saying...
Abyssal persecutor, like if you have the Magic Gathering card.
If you have many Natalies and you point to one of them, that's a Natalie.
Yeah.
Right? Abyssal is like a unit of measurement. Like you'd have a pound. You could say, give me a pound, give me a quarter pound. Give me abyssal. I want abyssal. Bissel. The word is that. Bissel. Bissel.
All right. Bissel. I got to get out of here.
This is Bissel.
You guys keep going if you want.
No, I'm getting out of here.
I haven't even been here. This is
Montez Ford. He's not going to win the U.S. title before Mania. I mean, Theory's walking it. You're saying Theory Cena at Mania, right?
Yeah.
There's some talk about Theory.
It would be dope if like Montez Ford gets that push in the chamber.
Theory,
the Fresh Prince of Bel Air.
That's a great Mania match.
Theory, Montez Ford, Cena? The Fresh Prince of Bel Air.
Yeah.
Versus Theory versus Cena, triple threat.
I mean, Montez is great. He's he's getting so jacked up. I love
yeah,
it.
Yeah, he's dude, definitely on a cycle.
He put on like right what, move. 30, 40 pounds of muscle.
That's the right move. Yeah. That's the right
yeah,
move.
Yeah, he's
the
like, guys, apparently he's like increases. He's like, it's insane. I like, yeah. heard an interview.
Yo, by the way, if you ever want to enjoy a muscle couple, you, check out Jordan Grace and Jonathan Gresham. You know what I mean?
You want to enjoy if you want to enjoy a muscle couple.
If you want to enjoy, a muscle enjoy couple.
Guys talking about getting jacked, you can listen to Gabrus and Dan talk about that.
Oh yeah, by the way, listen to me right now. I'm on High and Mighty podcast, talking with John Gabrus about getting jacked, and then also you see me on Nicole Butters podcast on the what's it called? Why Won't You Date Me?
Why Won't You Date Me? Yeah. Is Gabrus jacked?
No.
No, he's a rugby guy, but he's not.
He used
jacked.
To be jacked, and he's very strong. But he—that's what we're talking about. He's trying to get back into it. He was talking about it because you know Gabrus is trying to. He's trying to get it done. So we're just going to talk about how to do it. You know what I'm saying?
Get it done. All right. Well,
Gabrus should be at my gym. I just can't. You know, you got to make
get him in there. Yourself. Make him do it.
Patreon.com/comedians. Yeah,
come support the podcast. We'll give you a bonus episode at some point. Tulo, we'll do it tomorrow.
We'll give man. You a boner.
All right, hey everybody. Yeah. I gotta go. I love you all. Great. I mean, still. I mean, we came back and we, you know, we're not going to get the credit, but this is the best wrestling podcast.
Number one podcast. Number one wrestling podcast.
And, everybody, follow me on Instagram at Dan Black Attack. You guys want to plug
Last Improv
me?
Show. Last Improv Show.
Follow at Comedy Last Pole Improv Show. Show. Follow at Comedy Pole Show. We got a Comedy Pole Show if you live in LA. 2/11 Saturday, this Saturday, the Valentine's Day show. It's going to be fun. This
Saturday, Christmas. Saturday.
I think it's going to be going fast mm-hmm. for that. And then Last Improv Show is sold out already on Monday, 2/13. You can stream it, though. And you can also stream the show on 2/13 and 2/24. Check out DynastyTypewriter.com. They stream our shows, so you can watch them. It's great.
It's awesome.
Kumail Nanjiani is the monologist on Monday.
Wow.
Should be nice. Dope.
Talk about a guy who got jacked. Love that.
I know. I can't wait to compare.
Yeah, you can't wait to just go fucking bicep for bicep with that fucking brown beast. I love it. You guys can follow me on Instagram. I will give you the caveat. I recently went private. So you can follow me at Shabiro, S-H-E-B-I-R-O, my last name, at Shabiro.
We accept anybody.
No. I went private. I've got maybe 4 or 5 in the clip right now who I'm not accepting. If you are a fan of the show and you want to follow me just to see my nonstop barrage of sunset content and sound bath content and vibe out. If you want to take some vibe requests, follow me at Shabiro, but shoot me a message saying you're a Comedians of Wrestling listener because I'm not accepted. I don't all accept right, people right. anymore.
Why did you limited go private? Time only. What was the logic there?
The logic there is that I am a gem. I'm a luxury item. I'm big ticket. Not everyone just gets to follow me. All right. I'm a fancy dessert. I'm like a $1 million. You know when you go to a steakhouse and oh, this steak costs $2,000.
The Wagyu like, beef.
We're all just shitty. Yeah, we're all just shitty appetizers. Living in fucking.
Right, I really gotta go. Bye. See you later. Bye. Shab's great. Good for you. Bye. Everybody, keep watching wrestling. Kisses. Cheers.
Bye. 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 Bye.